Neveler runs Neveler & Associates, also editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters. Welcome back, Louis Dabbley.
Good to be here.
Great to have you back. Are you all in Reno today or South Florida?
I'm in Reno.
All right. Well, we wanted to start off with, you know, the top stories, obviously, on the market.
It is a pause that refreshes. Some of it's also because the FANG stocks had a surge, and they had a kind of burp, for lack of a better word. But at the end of any earnings season, stocks like to consolidate, and that's all that's happening. But I'm very comfortable and confident that as we approach Thanksgiving, everything will firm up, and we'll have our traditional early January effect where the market broadens out, and we have a seasonal surge. Around the holidays, we gather for friends, family, football, food. It's a happy time of year. It seems to rub off on the stock market, so I expect a nice year-end rally and another early January effect, and I expect a good start.
You know, this rally since 2009, so many folks sold out at the bottom and just didn't participate in much of the rally. It seems like every new peak and every little pause, we hear from the same group of naysayers calling a top. Usually, everybody's bullish at a top. It seems like everybody's bearish here.
Yeah, they are. We had some divergences, though, institutional investors and retail investors. I got a report from Bespoke that showed some divergence. I think the biggest issue is that everybody wants a correction, but it's hard to correct when the dividend yields are so high. It's also hard to correct when the earnings are so good. We were all expecting a dramatic deceleration in earnings in the third quarter. Just to take a step back, first quarter earnings were the best in 5 years. Second quarter earnings were the best in 6 years. And we thought the S&P earnings would slow down at about a 4% pace in the third quarter. And they're running well over 8%. They're double what we expected. And now the fourth quarter earnings are going to be even better because the economy's taken off again. We do have 3% GDP growth now. It's in sight with strong business spending, strong consumer spending, productivity, higher exports, more narrow trade deficit. Looks like the Fed's going to have their last rate increase in December. The new Fed chairman's going to be trying to get the velocity of money up. That's how fast money changes hands. So prosperity continues to spread and rise. And it's a worldwide global event, too. So fascinating environment we're in, but it's I expect more melt up.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the latest Neveler upgrades, if you will. Upgraded from hold to buy. Aflac, AFL, BHP, BP, the gas company or petroleum, and Celgene.
Well, let's start with Celgene because the biotechs are having a bit of an issue, okay? I like the ones that have the earnings, but I don't have any biotechs that have hit my radar. British Petroleum did hit my radar the other day, okay? But it wasn't strong enough for me to buy it fundamentally, although it's certainly a good stock to go bargain hunting in. Our firm runs a PEG portfolio now, price earnings growth ratio portfolio, and things like BP are showing up. Aflac, it's okay. Not strong enough for me.
BHP Billiton Limited.
Yeah, it's too volatile for me right now. I don't really have many energy right now. I have a couple terminal companies, but you know, energy's up because of the chaos in Saudi Arabia.
The uptrend or the breakout in petroleum, you think it's a little late to get on board that?
I think time of year where demand drops. Demand's going to go up in the spring. In fact, I'm headed to Malta because there's a lot of money sloshing around the world right now. Money's on the move because they have to turn over about $800 billion, apparently, to the government over there. So what's happening is that this is a temporary event, and in the end, supply and demand rules the roost. I don't like to jump in just because of what's happening in Saudi Arabia right now.
And moving on to Prudential, ticker PUK, Phillips 66, PSX, Vodafone, VOD.
To me, Phillips 66 is fine. That shows up in our dividend graders and everything. Prudential's okay. It's a foreign stock. That's going to be more dependent upon the yield curve. It's flattened out here, so I'd like to avoid that. Vodafone's an interesting company. They're extremely dominant in Europe. I'm a little worried about them, so they're not on my radar at this moment.
Any thoughts on Twitter? Sort of a turnaround candidate. This is just from a sell to a hold. Ticker TWTR.
I love the Chinese Twitter called Webco. There's been the president of China did a corruption crackdown, basically eliminated all his opponents, just made himself president for life. Twitter over here in America is a little different. If we want to know what the president's saying, so Webco over in China is so the people can gossip about what's happening, and here we just use it to see what President Trump's saying and some other people. Twitter doesn't hit my criteria now because the earnings are.
Any positive comments on either the XAU gold shares or bullion?
There was all these ugly rumors that the Saudis are dumping their gold, that Bitcoin is competing with gold. I think I don't see the traditional people that have physical bullion running to Bitcoin. I think there's a lot of fake news out there. There's a lot of static. And I think, you know, gold's a fine allocation. And whether it's 4, 6, 8%, I'll leave that up to folks and their advisor. We prefer physical gold versus the actual, versus the gold bullion stocks or GLD, the ETF. You know, it's just there when the world ends. I think, you know, next time there's a crisis, gold will go nuts. Right now there's confidence in central banks. So gold's been a little more quiet.
Couple of ratings boosts here. BMY, Bristol Myers Squibb, and there's also Alexion Pharmaceuticals, a little less well known. ADI Analog Devices. Any of those interesting?
Bristol Myers is okay for dividends. We have some positive analyst upgrades.
Do you have any comments on the general forecast projections on U.S. shares? We're looking for at least 24,000 Dow and then a consolidation.
Estimated 11% earnings growth next year. I think that's very realistic. Typically, the analysts are optimistic in the beginning of the year. They get more pessimistic as the year goes on. But we do have this nirvana environment where businesses are confident, consumers are confident, don't have a lot of inflation brewing. The new Fed guy, Jerome Powell, was really at the urging of Steven Mnuchin here. He really wanted Powell in as the Fed guy. And I just think he wants them to stop their infighting. You know, there's infighting on the Fed. They've been fighting a mythical inflation beast that has not materialized. I think we want to have a little bit more pro-market, pro-business Fed. That's welcome. And hopefully under Powell, they'll be a little stricter. But, you know, this is as good as it gets. And we've had a stunning year. Stocks are not going up as much as earnings are going up. And earnings are still forecast to steadily rise next year. So I think it's great. The only thing is it's getting a little more narrow. Markets always get more narrow as we go higher.
Do you see any other asset classes you find appealing at these levels?
Well, it's mostly the tech stocks, and it's mostly the Chinese stocks that are being added to the Morgan Stanley indices. There's another trick up my sleeve. We just wrote a little white paper about the Robo Rebellion. They're letting robots run our money now on Wall Street, and we're very worried they'll cause another crash or crisis because ETFs do not trade at net asset value. They trade at premiums or discounts. And we're worried that the possibility that they might all try to sell at the same time and crater the market. I'm not sure the robots have been programmed to measure the premium discount. Back in 2015, we had a 90-minute period where there was a 35% discount intraday on like big dividend ETFs, DVY, iShares dividend ETFs. So we want to make sure that we don't have any more trading glitches. Our biggest fear are glitches, mechanical things on Wall Street, so much a prolonged crash. We do have a cheerleader in the White House for the stock market. Obviously, President Trump wants to remind us how much wealth he's creating all the time. I guess he thinks that's good for him.
You talk about the flash crash 2015, 30-35% retracement. Think of the arbitrage opportunities. If you had lowball orders in through options.
You could have had open orders or you could have just been watching and placed orders out there. But a lot of that was caused by my neighbors here in South Florida. See, down here in Florida, people retire and they miscalculate. They miscalculate for their property taxes and other things. So we had folks borrowing on, taking out home equity loans to buy more dividend stocks, especially MLPs, some high-yielding ones. And there were serious margin calls on August 24th of 2015. So some of this, some of that correction was triggered by seniors being leveraged up to here in South Florida. So we wrote a white paper explaining that it was actually the title of the white paper is the government caused the financial crisis in 2008. We're talking about how credit default swaps imploded and how there were investments leveraged 10-1, 8-1 that all imploded. Threw a lot of politicians under the bus in both parties. But then we want to say, okay, well, here's what happens when margin comes back. And we cited August 24th of 2015. We just wrote a new white paper warning about the Robo Rebellion, we had another little glitch after Brexit where a lot of ETFs were trading, yield-oriented ETFs were trading up to 4% premium, and other ETFs were trading a deep discount. Well, Betterment, the biggest robo program out there, actually stopped trading that day, which was great because that was the right thing to do. But we're not confident that all the robots will stop trading, and we're scared that some will start to trade and crater the market. And we predicted up to a 70% intraday correction if it goes on for a few days. So it's a real problem. Again, people don't know that ETFs don't trade at net asset value, but on an up day, they're trading at a premium. On a down day, they're trading at a discount. I happen to know that. We're top-ranked in ETF management. It's pretty funny. although we're top 1% in ETF management in the past year, past 3 years, and we've got 4 or 5-star ETF portfolios, our stock stuff is so much better than our ETF stuff because we know what the ETFs are adding every 90 days. So at the end of each quarter, we take a lot of the smart beta ETFs. We know what they're going to be buying. We just buy ahead on our stock stuff.
Oh, you front run the ETFs. Of course, you don't know with absolute assurance, but you have a very good guess on what they'll be adding to their portfolios. You did mention leverage and, of course, real estate. A lot of talk about credit default swap volume increasing similar to 2006, 2007. People worried about this echo bubble in housing. However, if you look at new housing starts, that's my favorite leading indicator on the sector. Nothing wrong there. Nice, steady 45-degree improvement month after month, year after year.
Every housing market has a line. Above the line, it gets soft, or below the line, it gets weak, but the lines are moving up and encompassing more and more homes. Obviously, they're trying to change the tax bill, so your home's not going to be a big itemized deduction. So it might hurt some of the really super luxury properties, but that's not what drives the housing market in the United States. Very, very comfortable and confident that the housing market's healthy, the stock market's healthy. They're the biggest beneficiaries of the current low interest rate environment we're in. The yield curve is as flat as it's been in 10 years, and as that yield curve flattens out, the Fed cannot raise rates further. So the Fed will probably raise rates in December and be one and done, and that's it. And then the new Fed chairman will be more pro-business.
Fed funds futures currently indicate over about a 91% odds of a rate hike. So that's pretty much baked into the cake, I guess, at this point. And you seem to think that would be it. Tell about Navalier Associates and any services that you provide, contact information.
We have a management company called Navalier Associates. It's headquartered in Reno, Nevada. I guess we're most famous for a fund that we run. We were number one fund in the third quarter. It was at 14.54. It's the Cavalier Fundamental Growth Fund. We're a sub-advisor to it. We're known for great risk-adjusted performance. We're a low-beta growth manager, so we try to get you smooth, steady returns. So if you go to our website, click on the risk-adjusted view of some of our portfolios, and you see we have the lowest beta, lowest max drawdown, lowest standard deviation of many of our peers. But we have very good absolute performance as well. We also publish newsletters on NavalierGrowth.com. We have to keep those businesses separate. Both the management company, Navalier.com, and the newsletter site, NavalierGrowth.com, have free databases for grading your stocks and dividends, your dividend stocks and your growth stocks. They're separate databases, but you can key in all your stocks and grade them. They're updated every week automatically. We're trying to empower investors. We also have free services like a free market mail on Navalier.com. It's my weekly market commentary of myself and of four other folks that write for us. Very extensive. It's 20 pages every week, very detailed. So we don't want people to be alone out there. We want to keep everybody appraised.
Thank you so much.
Great. Great talk to you. Take care.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.